Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as you know, we start off each show asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or to create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? We are planners. Most CPAs are reporters, and I know that all of you are dealing with your reporters right now, trying to get squared away for your extension, I hope. I hope you don't fall for the immature tax advice that I hear by so many of these platforms on the air, these real estate membership, old school membership platforms. We've got several of the leading ones right here in the city of Houston with a national presence. And boy, I tell you, it's amazing just how many people follow the advice of amateurs when it comes to tax planning, tax reporting, etc. And I'm going to remind you of a quote that I think is famous anyway, that Red Adair used to say as the leading oil and gas firefighter, that you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I am reminded of that fact literally every week as I'm getting ready for this show that starts here at 5 on KSEV. I listen to the show that's on just before mine with one of those old school, I'm going to call them travel agent type membership platforms for real estate, where you know, I'm going to suggest most of us no longer buy our plane tickets from travel agents, and I'm going to suggest maybe you look to other sources to find your real estate private partnership investments, and in doing so, you can avoid some of the heartache that comes with some of the amateur tax advice that you get. But anyway, the deadline coming up is the 18th this year, because the 15th, I believe it's Good Friday, it's a holiday in any event, and so we get a few extra days, which to us old CPAs is a welcome respite from the daily grind. But anyway, I'm going to suggest that I need to elaborate on the disclaimer that you heard coming into the show. But just because you listen to my show, that doesn't make us your accountant or your advisor, and that you need to always, whether it's my show or anybody else's, when you hear something that you think, man, that would be a great strategy for me to try, don't do it yourself. Go talk to your current advisors. If you need advisors, we'll obviously consider working with you. But first, we want you to go to our website at beaplanner.com, BEAPLANNER.com, and complete our intake form so that we have some idea of what your existing facts and circumstances consist of. And then we'll be happy to have a call. You can schedule a call, in fact, right there on the same site. Link's right next to the intake form link there at the top of our site. And you'll talk to me in most cases, maybe one of my associates, depending on the topic, but happy to try to help you understand whether something you heard here makes sense for what you do. I'm going to suggest to you that if you haven't heard about private real estate partnerships or real estate private partnership syndication specifically, I've coined an acronym called REPS. If you haven't heard about those, you might want to tune in to our Sunday show tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right here on the same station, where we talk about those specific investment options. And we're going to talk tomorrow about a topic that's been near and dear to my heart, that I think we're beginning to see some other options provided for those of you that don't like the heavy fee burden that comes between your returns and the syndicator's returns, and or the syndicator's progress, I guess. You know, the syndicating crowd today for the most part, is really amazing how they're taking fees up front on these transactions before they ever really do a whole lot towards making you money. And you know, I think we are starting to make some headway in that regard. We've got a syndicator who I really like. I like the way he's willing to listen. I like the scale that he operates at. He's at the top of the game, and we'll talk more tomorrow about a transaction that they've got raising capital right now, right here at the moment. In any event, so I wanted to, let's see, we got about a minute. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back after the break. We're going to pick up with, I got a whole raft of questions about Roth IRA conversions, and I want to get into that again because it seems to be striking a chord with our listeners. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Man Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I'm gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I'm gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I'm gonna be rich.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program is coming up very shortly.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as I had mentioned just before going to the break, we're going to talk Roth conversions again. This is like just a huge topic out there in many realms, you know, for people that see what's coming. They see the tax train that's barely down the tracks, and depending on what happens legislatively, we've got time. For those of you that are thinking it's too late, not too late. We've probably got 7 or 8 years before that train runs you over, and in the meantime, we need to work towards Roth conversions. We've got to get off to the side of the big income tax increases that are absolutely going to come. And why am I so adamant that they're going to come? Because I look at the math of what our current deficit consists of, how little of the budget, our federal fiscal budget, is discretionary, meaning we still have a choice on how it gets spent. And that window will close sometime by 2029 or 2030, and at that point there will be no more ability for the U.S. to even cover the interest on the debt. And you think things are at an all-time inflation rate now, wait till that happens. It'll make 1929 look like a picnic, relatively speaking. And so the smart money is moving pre-tax dollars over to Roth. In my case, I work with a lot of clients that have the 401 trust, and we're moving funds from pre-tax over to the Roth side of the house. Every one of the 401 trusts that we create has two components. Think of it as a duplex, or actually it's a triplex. We've also got the voluntary after-tax bucket, which allows folks that are old like me. I just turned 62 today, by the way, and I know I've got a couple listeners tuned in that knew that, but I'll go ahead and acknowledge this, and nobody needs to call in and tell me, or text in this case, happy birthday. It is a happy day indeed. I'm very happy to think I've lived this long, and I'm counting on much more, obviously. But in any event, for us old folks, i.e. over 50, that's how the IRS defines us, we're able to do catch-up contributions to where this year we can now do $67,500. If you have the requisite level of self-employment income, that is the maximum that we can get over into our Roth side of our 401 trust, not necessarily directly. Some of it can come directly, but most of it will come via the mega backdoor Roth, which is still with us, hadn't gone away yet. You may have heard my discussions back last, I guess it started in September, Rev 1 of the Build Back Better did away with the mega backdoor Roth. Rev 2 put it back. Rev 3 did away with it again. And by the way, Rev 3, you probably missed it. You probably went for the head fake that the White House put out, guess what, 3 weeks ago now, where they talked about the billionaire tax as if that's going to save us. That's going to make the deficit go away, which is a joke. But anyway, hiding behind that billionaire tax, you know, it was like the old draw play in football where you ran right past the line looking to get that billionaire. And all of a sudden you wake up and realize, oh, wait a minute. Now the Build Back Better provisions are all in the TY23 budget proposal, every one of them. And so here we go again, trying to jam this thing through. Thank God we still got a Joe Manchin that hasn't felt conflicted just yet. We're hoping he hangs in there. And he's saying, you know, it's likely unconstitutional. And he's not the only one saying that. So it probably won't happen. But even if it doesn't, just understand that they're still coming for you folks that are making over $450,000, married, filing, joint, $400,000 if you're single. But the good news is, and this must mean that Congress has a lot of pre-tax retirement money, is all I can figure, is that they don't do away with the Roth conversion for another 10 years, 2032, or I guess maybe 33 now, if they've turned the clock up a bit since they last tried to pass this thing end of last year. But bottom line is the rule won't kick in for 10 years. And then you've also got the issue of your income. If you're under the $450,000 mark, you could still convert to Roth. So we don't just run out and convert all of your dollars to Roth in one fell swoop in one tax year. We want to look at doing it on an optimal basis where we try to stay down in the, you know, the mid-20s would be the high point for most clients that we would suggest do it sooner rather than later. Otherwise, we think that sitting tight, watching what's going on with tax rates, monitoring your income, and trying to figure out which sliver would make sense to convert. And for those of you that have 401 trusts, you got to understand what an amazing opportunity you've got to save money on that Roth conversion. If you had your money sitting at Fidelity or Schwab and it was invested in index funds, mutual funds, etc., the value, the tax value of those dollars is pretty much on a one-to-one basis. So if you got $1 million sitting there, you've got a tax somewhere in the $400,000 range. It's pretty extreme to get over to the Roth. In other words, what we're doing with the Roth at base, we're saying, hey, government, we're going to draw a line in the sand, and this is how much of our pre-tax money you really own. And I know that the use of that word own may come as a shock to you, but I'm just curious if you realize, and I know you do, but you don't really want to think about it. If you've got $1 million sitting in a 401 or an IRA, it's not all yours. You've got a partner in that money. And the only issue you have is knowing how much is theirs, because we don't know what the rates are going to be down the road. And I'm going to tell you that mathematically, the rates, if Congress wants to do anything more than a Band-Aid, which, of course, that's never not the case, but let's just assume they really want to fix the issue of deficits, they're going to have to do two things. They're going to have to quit overspending every year, which that in and of itself is going to be a high lift. And then, of course, they have to not just, you know, get us to next year. I mean, they got to look long term on what it's going to take to actually pay down the deficit. And, you know, I would suggest to you that the folks that I follow in terms of, you know, reading the tea leaves would suggest that this is about a 50% increase. Well, actually, it's a doubling of the tax rate. It's not 50%. It's almost 100%. So it's actually between 80 and 100% of the current rates. And you have to understand the tax rates we pay now. I know all of us think they're horrific. It's just terrible. You have to understand we haven't lived long enough, okay, even at my advanced age, to remember the days of the 90% top bracket, right? The tax brackets right now have never been lower in our lifetime. They are, you think of it as a big sell, 50% off sell, if you will, and you need to consider taking advantage of that if you think you're going to live past about the next, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Because, again, it's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's the math. And the math is, for the most part, it's bipartisan. I guess I hesitate there a second because, boy, they can sure spin it as if it's one side or the other. And don't you be fooled. The only difference between Democrats and Republicans is how we're going to spend it. It's not how much. The Republicans are just as guilty, if not more so, of jacking the deficit up than the Democrats have been. Now, we, you know, we don't mind as much when the Republicans want to do it because they're typically not paying for green technology and free college and free health care, et cetera. So we tend to feel a little bit, you know, we're more pleased, I guess, with what the results of the spending are than if it was progressives in charge, as we have now. But in any event, getting the discounts on private company investments, which we are able to grab if we're invested in real estate private partnership syndications, when you're able to discount that taxable value anywhere from 50 to 70%, that's a big deal. So that $1 million that you would be paying tax on if it's set up Fidelity can literally be in the $300,000 to $500,000 range, depending on the property, depending on how far your partnership is into rehabbing that property. You know, obviously, we want to pull the trigger on these conversions before you would sell or refinance. But in any event, to be able to use a tax base that's that much less is pretty attractive, obviously. And it's a series of discounts that relates to lack of marketability. We can't just go sell our units in that partnership. We can't vote on anything substantial, so we have a lack of majority control. Even if you could vote, you're still not in the majority. And then, you know, we're looking to a small team to execute. We're assuming that we can rent these units once we rehab. We assume we can refinance them when we think we can, and assorted risk factors. If you look at the private placement memorandum that comes with every real estate private partnership, or at least every 506B offering, which for those of you that haven't listened to the show on Sunday, you may not be aware that you know, there's a difference between the transactions that will allow non-accredited investors, those obviously with less than $1 million net worth. At least that's the rule today. That rule looks like it may change this month, in fact. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is going to be putting some proposed rules out for comment, and the proposal is to raise the threshold to qualify as a accredited investor. And I haven't seen what that level is. There's several options, but I guess I'm going to reserve judgment until we can see where that will be. But in any event, the private placement memorandum on every transaction that there is one will go over a list of about 20 to 25 risk factors. And, you know, you shouldn't, you know, get too concerned. I mean, obviously these are overstated in a sense. I mean, are they real risks? Well, yes, they are. Just like getting in your car every day and driving 30 going down the road has risk. You know, whether you're speeding or not, you know, it's not necessarily mean that you're not going to have an accident. As I try to explain to my wife at times, you know, I'm actually driving faster so that I can avoid a potential accident that I might be in if I were only driving 30. And she doesn't buy that any more than you might. And in any event, I've got a history, as you might understand, that would indicate that she's probably right. Just as a quick aside, I'll never forget the time when I was texting or doing an email on the way to school one morning, bumper to bumper traffic, and she complained again about me doing that. And I said, oh, no, don't worry, I'm a professional. And it literally wasn't 5 seconds later that the nose of our SUV met a Mercedes in the rear. And so that excuse doesn't work anymore. But anyway, bottom line is, all of life has risk. The stock market has risk. My goodness, if you don't pick up on that on a daily basis, when you see it go up and down like a yo-yo, you're not paying attention. And so we don't, those of us that understand multifamily real estate, don't look at the risk factors in a PPM and freak out. No, we're thinking, hey, that's another discount to value that we can utilize when we make our Roth conversion. It's a beautiful thing. We got a government agency, the Securities and Exchange Commission, making sure we understand what those risks are. Oh, you bet. We fully understand, and we're going to assign somewhere between 50 and 70% discounts to value as we lower the cost of avoiding this tax train. And if you folks don't understand that, connect with us. And I don't care if you're using a 401 trust or not. You could be in an IRA. You could have other tax retirement accounts that are invested in real estate. And when the custodian that you utilize asks you each year, what's the value? You know, they prepare a Form 5498 for all you self-directed IRA folks, which, by the way, you're not realizing you're going to get clobbered on taxes when those deals exit, because you're subject to a tax that the 401 trust alone is not subject to in that IRA or that SEP or whatever other vehicle you're using. And so you really need to pay attention to what we talk about on the air, especially on Saturdays, and we can help you sidestep that tax before that property is sold. Otherwise, you've got a filing obligation. The tax rate goes up as high as 37% on the first $13,000 of income, depending on how it's reported. And, you know, if you look at your applications that you fill out with all the custodians out there, you're going to see some fine print that indicates that you understand these rules and that you're responsible for the filings, even though I'll promise you most people that have self-directed IRAs in real estate don't begin to understand what the UDFI or unrelated debt financed income tax consists of. And again, you can avoid it if you take action before you've got a significant taxable event, which normally in a real estate transaction is the exit. We're coming up, or we're here at now, the second break. Let's go ahead and take another break. If you want to send me a question, you're happy to text me at 713-581-0195. And we'll be right back with the Be a Planner Be a Planner Tax Match Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you,
When's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at beaplanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
So reach down, reach out and lead me, guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day. 'Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper, you are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about Roth conversions. I'm going to continue to talk about Roth conversions because I keep getting questions, either emailed or sent by text, always after the show. Nobody wants to talk on the air. I get that. And thus the reason that I'm only going to take text and emails moving forward. It doesn't matter. As long as I keep getting questions after the fact, I know people are listening, and you know, I just respect the fact that we don't have dialogue on the air. So the only dialogue we're going to have on the air is I've got a couple folks I'm going to start involving in the show, a couple of my associates, and then we're going to continue to interview syndicators out there. I've got several on my list, and I'm going to continue to work on providing better syndication offerings to my clients, like one that we'll talk about tomorrow, where you know, we've got a syndicator that's been on the air before with me, and he actually thought about some of the things we talked about, and I've been able to go back and forth with him on how we can restructure his transactions, or at least one of them that we're working on right now, in a fashion that lets you come in front of his better interest on a good chunk of the cream that comes off that transaction. And it's fairly unusual that a syndicator will align the timing of you achieving your economic interest over their own. And I'm not saying that you know, the syndicator shouldn't earn fees. In fact, I'm going to encourage the syndicator to always earn more fees than what they might already show in a transaction, as was the case here. But the issue is, do they get you to your metrics? Do we get that 2.0 equity multiple over 3.6 years? That would work out to 0.005 per month on average. So do we get to that 0.6 a year? 3.0 over 5 year, you know, 5 years is kind of a average metric that's being targeted these days. And we're going to get into more detail on this tomorrow, but what I'm going to suggest to you is the big news here is that for the first time, we've got a syndicator that's going to do more than just a return on your capital. He's actually going to do a return of your equity multiple before he steps in and takes the large majority of his compensation. That's noteworthy, and that's something that we plan on working, as, you know, as fast as we can on getting other syndicators to realize how they can benefit if they're willing to do that. The other thing that we're going to be doing that I've, you know, again, this gentleman's a bit unusual, and in a good way, Looks like we've got our first prospect to allow an independent third-party review each year of how well or not well, as the case may be. We don't know. You know, there's a certain amount of trust and faith here, but we would suggest the syndicator I'm referring to is open-minded enough to the concept of having a third party come behind him and say, hey, you're doing a great job of executing that private placement memorandum that you put out. And I'm going to suggest to you that doesn't happen today. I don't care which member, which old school membership platform you're connected with or non-old school membership platform, there's little, if any, follow-up. And I'm not suggesting that all the leads are ripping people off. And I'll tell you, for the most part, they're not. Even in the case of the gentleman that Self-Made Millionaires platform is seeking to castigate, it's an amazing story if you ever get both sides of it. And it just goes to show the original cancel culture was not the media. It's Self-Made Millionaires platform. And, you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of the old Eagles song, Hotel California, where you can, as my, well, as one of my friends says, you can check it in, but you can't check it out. And I tell you what, don't you ever make the mistake of leaving that platform if you're a successful syndicator, because they will hunt you down. And that's what's going on. And I will challenge someone to explain to me exactly why Self-Made Millionaires platform should be going after a transaction that didn't even happen on their platform. That's how egregious these folks are. And you need to understand that. You need to flip the application over for your $18,000 membership and look at how easily you can be canceled too. The weather's not good today. Canceled, okay? Literally, that would qualify. So understand what you're signing up for. Just went like when you invest in these transactions. And if you like it, if you've got an extra 20 grand laying around, great, let's go for it. I'll help you exploit that platform. There's no question that they've got some good transactions out there. They've got some good syndicators. They don't have one syndicator, though, that is willing to put an equity multiple of a certain target in front of their getting a big chunk of the gain. So they can talk about their moral and ethical and more righteous allocation models in terms of the multifamily projects. None of them come in front of the guy that I am working with and that I truly respect his ability to think. That's the problem with many of the syndicators in these other groups, is that they've drank the Kool-Aid a little bit too much. They got drunk on the Kool-Aid, and they don't think anymore. There are a couple guys in that group, couple guys or gals, that do think, and I applaud them because they take independent action. Unlike what we saw 3 weeks ago at the big real estate expo event in Houston, where Self-Made Millionaire became a suicide bomber, is what I give him a title of now. And then you watched in unison as all the lead partners involved closed behind him, won't talk about the event, which, by the way, is on some audio. It is out there. Plenty of time to catch up on that as we go down the road. But my point is not to castigate him. That's what they do. I don't want to cancel that platform. Are you kidding me? I'm the professional. In Red Adair's quote of, you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. They're the amateurs, and they consistently drive traffic my way, business, because they don't know what they're doing in the tax realm. And it actually calls into question whether they know what they're doing in the real estate realm in some ways, although I will stipulate they've got a good mousetrap built in terms of the syndication space. Now, that said, it'd be nice if they could have people on the air besides the ones that not just drank the Kool-Aid, they're all in terms of being employees of the organization. I know there's some success stories out there, but if you believe the numbers that you hear, 50,000 members supposedly, and then when you see there's only maybe 300 or 400 active lead partners or syndicators, it makes you question a little bit the metrics on retiring in 5 years, because most of the people that retire in 5 years are those that are syndicating or leading transactions. It's not you, the actual passive member. And I don't care how many times they say it, how loudly they say it, whether it's from the front of the room or it's on the air, the average member of that group does not, NOT in caps, retire in 5 years, much less the 2.5 years that self-made millionaire himself claims now. And I can show you the math on that. I'll show you when you will retire based on listening to the answers to a couple more questions that they conveniently overlook, which is how much money do you have to get started? And what do you call retirement? Is it the $60,000 a year that they call retirement? Or might it be a little more? Probably going to be a little bit more, maybe 100, 150, as many of my clients are. And I'll just suggest to you, unless you've got more than $1 million, that's not going to happen in the mainstream. I'm not saying you won't get a grand slam every once in a while. Yes, we all experience those. But that's not the norm, and that's what it would take to get you retired in 2.5 to 5 years, unless you're a syndicator. And again, if they're to be believed on the number of members, you're talking less than 1% over 30 years that would be able to make that claim. So you never understand what you're listening or hearing. You know, half of it is possibly correct, half of it is absolutely hot air. You just don't know the difference. We do. We've been around that group for 20 years now, and happy to help steer you, happy to help you exploit that program, hopefully before you hand the IRS the billions, or you'd be part of the billions in dollars that have gone from that group's members to the IRS, where they literally didn't realize they could have won the lottery. And, you know, when you talk about, I hear every week on this show right before mine, you can't get rich quick with your IRA or 401k. And every time I say, really? Interesting how my clients are getting double the financial freedom over the next 30 years that you're going to get by handing the IRS 30 to 50% of your family's net worth. And I hear every week or every day on the air how, you know, they're rescuing, they're retiring people one person at a time. Well, I'm rescuing retirements one at a time, hopefully before these guys get their paws on them, because it's never going to be easier than if you're working with 100% of your chips as opposed to only having 50 to 70% remaining. Anyway, let's take another break. We'll come back for the fourth segment and have a few other things to talk about in addition to the Roth, although that's primarily still the hot topic today. So we'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
This is Brian Kilmeade from Fox News Radio, and you're listening to the home of the Brian Kilmeade Radio Show on KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Paul Merlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
And now, an anniversary poem from Specs Wines, Spirits, and Finer Foods. In 62, we first met you. We'd polished the floor and opened the door to welcome you in to Specs First Store. Now it's been 60 years of Specs Bunny Ears, so grab up your beers and raise them in cheers. Hooray, hooray to Texas and friends, from humble beginnings to all the weekends. Specs is to Texas like wet is to rain. When it comes to wet whistles, our savings will rain. For 21,900 days, Specs' only goal has been to amaze. Selection and savings as big as all Texas. And that's where you'll find all of our Specs's. We're raising a glass to our very first date, because Specs is in love with the Lone Star State. So cheers to you on our 60th year. With Texas and Specs, the fun starts here.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing.
Dreams and fake dreams.
And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan. I'm sorry, Be a Planner Tax Mash show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I tell you what, it's hard to keep the two shows straight, but in any event, today is tax math, tomorrow is syndication math, and you'll just have to bear with me. You'll figure it out. I wanted to point out a couple last things about the Roth 401 that are a little bit unique compared to the IRA. The Roth IRA has similar rules, but they're not identical, and I think it's important to highlight a couple of them. One, and this is the big one, and this may shock those of you that haven't been paying your tax, the Roth IRA is subject to the same UDFI tax, that's unrelated debt-financed income tax, that I mentioned earlier. And if you think, well, you know, nobody said anything when I signed up, correct. They never say anything. But go to the website of whoever your custodian is and go do a search on UDFI or UBIT. There's a number of terms that you'll see this tax discussed in. And in every case, it's not the custodian's obligation to calculate those amounts for you. You've got to do that. Some of them offer preparation services on the Form 990T that's involved. And so, you know, if you turn to them to have them prepare it, it's still up to you to initiate that contact. And what I'm going to suggest to you is, since we're sitting here talking about Roth conversions, now would be an opportune time before you get word from your lead partner that we're going to be refinancing later this year, or maybe we're going to consider selling, you want to get out of that self-direct. You want to get that investment relisted over to a 401 trust if you qualify. And most people can qualify if they don't now. It's a matter of changing your day-to-day a bit, thinking about a side gig, a side hustle, where you're able to do something even part-time. You can still be participating in your big company 401 account, but you need some type of self-employment income. And again, go to any one of 80 websites to get some ideas, and then feel free to talk with me. I engage contractors all the time to do assorted activities. Happy to discuss that with you and see if there might be a fit for some of the work that I need. And I'm not hiring you, but I'll engage perhaps depending on what you have to offer. But everybody can achieve this, okay? And so I don't want to make it – when you hear certain folks with these old-school membership platforms say, well, yeah, I know Nathan talks about that, but it's really hard because you got to have a business. Well, okay, Etsy's a business. eBay sales is a business. Flipping homes is a business. Babysitting is a business. Dog walking is a business. Mowing your neighbor's yard for getting paid is a business. It's self-employment income is what qualifies. And there's no statutory level that, you know, has to be achieved. And there's not even the statutory requirement that it derive a profit. It's the evidence of the intention to make a profit that qualifies. So that might help you get past the notion that, oh, this is impossible because I'm not an attorney, accountant, consultant, real estate broker, et cetera, where I'm getting paid, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, self-employment income. No requirement that you actually be doing that. Yes, we have a lot of those that are our clients, and they've discovered that investing in the REPs, you know, the real estate private partnership syndications, is a great way to make above average returns and catch up if you're behind on the $3 million you really need. It's not $60,000 a month like self-made millionaire would have you believe. If you don't have $3 million in the bank, and that's not usually, you're usually not going to do that by saving it. You're going to do that by earning it. And so bottom line is that's your level of funds that will protect you if long-term health care issues arise, chronic illness, which you never hear that discussed around any of these membership platforms. I guess it's simply the most amazing healthy people in the world that find their way to these gurus in the real estate realm to where they don't seem to think that that's something to worry about, even though I hear self-made millionaires got to have some of the you know, most remarkable afflictions for, you know, someone his age, of anybody I've ever heard of. But that's an aside. I mean, you know, look, we all have our health issues, and all I'm suggesting is if you think that having a cash flow stream is all you need to be retired, well, I think you're being a little bit short-sighted, and I think you need to go pull some of the articles that discuss how many of us in retirement will spend upwards of $800,000 on long-term health care, chronic illness, et cetera. And that could be per spouse. And so unless you're willing to take a chance, roll the dice, and potentially bankrupt the other spouse because the way the Medicare, Medicaid rules work, you've got to spend down your family's net worth before there's going to be any assistance in picking up those extreme costs. So in any event, what I wanted to say, though, if you find yourself with an IRA where you're already invested in real estate private partnerships, you know, take a look. Go do a little research. Google UDFI or unrelated debt financed income, or just go to the Internal Revenue Code. You'll, any night you want to go to bed early, just go open or look it up online. Cornell has a site. I mean, if you just Google any tax code section, go Google IRC 512. That's Internal Revenue Code 512, and you'll be taken right to the discussion, the actual code section, and you can read about UBIT and the interplay between UBIT and UDFI. And, you know, the code section 512 will explain that your investments in real estate are exempt from the UBIT, the unrelated business income tax, provided their rental real estate. If it's a flip, it's not. It's going to be subject to tax under UBIT. And then, so that'll be the general rules that, hey, you've got an exception. You're thinking, my, this is awesome. And then you get down to the bottom of 512, and then you get the exception, which is if you have a loan on that real estate. Now, the loan won't be to you. It's going to be to your IRA. And, yes, there are lenders that will loan to an IRA. If anybody wants a list of those, you can shoot me a text at 713-581-0195, or you can email me at info@mpross.com, and I'll be happy to share that with you. But bottom line is the debt is what causes the tax. So, you know, the 401 trust has an exemption from that debt. Happy to help you. You don't have to liquidate your investments to do the rollover to the trust. You also don't have to liquidate investments to do the Roth conversion. So whether you have a 401 or not, and you're wanting to convert to Roth, now's your chance to start looking at that so we can optimize over the next 5, 6, 7 years. And at the same time, let's avoid the tax altogether, because the Roth pays the leverage tax. That's got to be a surprise to many of you that probably aren't filing, don't realize you owe the money. The Roth pays tax. Every IRA pays tax if you've got leveraged investments. The 401 trust is the only vehicle under the tax code, whether you're talking retirement plans or not, that escapes tax. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. I've again enjoyed this week's show as always. Feel free to send me your questions offline, and be happy to bring them up next week here on the show. And tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m., for the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.